Hello, this is Xavier Anguera, and I'm going to talk to you about binary diarization today. This is a joint work with Jean-François Bonastre from University of Avignon. I'm coming from Telefonica Research. So what I'm going to talk today has this outline. See, this is in front of me. Has this outline. I'm going to introduce what speaker diarization is, or at least for the ones of you that don't remember from the previous talk. I'm going to talk about binary speaker modeling, and then I'm going to join the two things into the binary speaker diarization system that we just developed, do experiments, and then conclude on future work. First, speaker diarization. Yes, we have an audio. We split the audio into speakers. We see who spoke when, and we don't know neither speakers, neither how many speakers are there, okay, like the previous three talks. Now, what is the state of the art nowadays? Well, we have done a lot of progress in the last years. We've gotten to around 7-10% in broadcast news, even though this is something that since 2004 it's not part of the NIST evaluations, and I bet nowadays it's even lower than that. And we've gone to 12-14% for meetings, even maybe 9% nowadays on meeting domain. This is a great result. This makes diarization be able to be used for other, as a block step for other applications like a speaker ID when there is multiple speakers, etc. But still, we have a problem. It's too slow. For example, here I have some numbers. I mean, in standard systems, if you develop a diarization system and you don't do anything about it, it's most probably going to go way above one time real time. And if you try doing something about it, the two systems that I saw, the two papers that I saw that were trying to do something about it are from ICSI. The first one is one couple years ago and was going down to 0.97 real time. That's on a monocore, and they were doing some tweaks to the GMM-based algorithms. It's a hierarchical bottom-up system, and they were getting to just under real time. And then further on, they said, "Okay, let's go to GPU, so we can use 16-core, whatever our GPU machine is." And they went down to 0.07. And I know that nowadays they're still even faster. But this is GPU, so you don't have GPU in a mobile phone, or you don't have this. Good hardware to work on in depending on what architecture. So this is what we want to have, a system that really, really is very fast, and it doesn't matter on what architecture you're running it. And so how do we do it? In this case, we did it by adapting a recently proposed technique called binary speaker modeling. We also have another poster here in ICASP on using this for speaker ID. And so in this case, we are adapting it to diarization, and I'll tell you how we do it. So to know what we're doing and to know the basics of what binary speaker modeling is, I'm gonna explain about it a little bit more now. So this is the basics of it. So we have some input acoustic data, and we want to end up with a vector, a long vector of just zeros and ones. So the way we do it is basically in a very general way, like I explained here. We just extract some acoustic parameters, MFCC, whatever we want, and then we use a binary key background model, KBM, which is basically a UBM but trained in a different way, to get this acoustic data, and then with this KBM we obtain these binary keys for each acoustic data input, which could be data for one speaker or data for a couple seconds of audio. Now let's see, this KBM, UBM, you could understand it different ways. This is basically a set of Gaussians positioned in a particular way in the acoustic space, in the multidimensional acoustic space. In here we have just one dimension so that we can see the example. So we first position these acoustic Gaussians in the space, and then we take our input data, our acoustic or our speaker data, and we see which of these Gaussians are representing the best our data. And from there, we extract a binary fingerprint, or binary key, which has zeros representing the positions or these Gaussians that do not really represent well the data, and ones on the Gaussians that are well representing our data. It's easy, right? So how do we do it for an audio stream? How do we bring all this together? Well, we can see here on the left side we have our input signal, where we compute our MFCC, acoustic features, etc. And on the right side we have our KVM. And the first thing we do, and that's the vertical vectors, is we have vectors which whose dimensionality is n, is the same number of Gaussians we have in our KVM model. And for each input feature vector, we select the best, we could say, I don't know, the 1% best, 2% best, the 10 best, whatever metric we want to use, whatever threshold we want to use, the best represent that feature vector. If we do that for x1 to xm, our data that we want to model, then we can get down to this counting vector, the first of the horizontal vectors, which basically counts how many times each of these Gaussians has been selected as one of the best representing Gaussians for the acoustic data. And then simply we just say, okay, the top N or the top M, whatever, Gaussians representing the data are our ones and the rest are all zeros. So once we have a binary vector for two speakers or for two sets of acoustic data, it is very fast and very easy to compare them, to compare how close they are. In here, there is just an example, and excuse the typography, there should be a sum in the formula, both in the top and in the bottom. And basically, this is one possibility. I mean, there is many possibilities within working in binary domain. You just need to find a way to compare two binary signals. In this case, what we used in this paper is, in the nominator, we just did the sum of it's sums plus one whenever in the two vectors we have a one. And in the denominator, we just do the OR. So we sum plus one whenever in either of the vectors we have a one. And this gives us a score from 0 to 1, no? The zero is dissimilar, totally non-similar at all, and one is, they are the same vector. So our speaker binary models, and as I said, we have a poster explaining more about that, and you can go back to a poster we had in InterSpeech. And let's see now how we apply it to speaker diarization. So this is basically the system, the new system that we're proposing today. This is just, even if it looks a little different, a little strange, this is just an agglomerative bottom-up system. You can see that there is an agglomerative clustering down below, and we have a kind of a stopping criterion or a cluster selection. But let's see what it is about. So first, bottom left, it's acoustic feature extraction. We extract MFCC, whatever we want. KVM training next to it, so we need to train these KVM models. In this case, we train them from the data itself. We don't use external data. Features binarization, so model, we take the acoustic features and we have vectors, and clustering initialization. We always need to initialize our system. As we are doing a bottom-up system, we need many more clusters than actual speakers are there, so we need somehow to create those clusters. And this is all this part is the acoustic processing. There is no more modeling involved. And this is just initialization. It takes just a little bit of time, of the computational time of the system. After that, the agglomerative clustering, which is what we keep clustering. We keep joining together all those clusters that are closest together. This is all done in the binary space. And finally, once we have reached to one, and this is one difference from a standard agglomerative clustering system, we go from n to one. We have reached to one, we use an algorithm to select how many clusters optimally we have. As I said, MFCCs, we use 19 MFCCs, a standard every 10 millisecond, 25 millisecond window. In the KVM, well, as I said, the KVM model, but trained in a special way. Why do we train it in a special way? Well, if you use a UVM model, you train it with standard EMML techniques, you're going to have Gaussian's positions at the average points optimally modeling the data. And these average points are, we saw that they are not representing the particularities or the discriminative information that the speakers have, that the speakers of your audio have. So we try to do something different that can model that. And this KVM model, we saw that it can be anything higher than 500 Gaussians. We can go to 10,000. The performance doesn't improve, neither deteriorates. How do we train this model? So in this case, in this paper, we trained it in the following way. We took the input data. This is our input audio. And we first trained a single Gaussian for every, I believe it's 2 seconds of speech with some overlap. So we end up with a pool of 600, 1,000 Gaussians, or 2,000, I don't know, Gaussians, single Gaussians that represent very small portions of the audio. So whenever there is a speaker, they represent a speaker very discriminatively. And then we use a KL2 metric to iteratively Gaussians that will model the space optimally. Optimally means model the space like more separate between them for the whole acoustic space, and that's it. This is actually much faster than doing iterative splitting, EMML. Now, binarization of the data is these binary vectors from the acoustic data, and we do it in two steps. We do it in two steps so that first step, which is obtaining the first best, the K best Gaussians for each acoustic feature, that we have to do one time only, and then on the second step, for every subset of features that we want to compute a fingerprint from, that's going to be done iteratively in our iterative diarization, we do it any time we need it, and this is actually very fast. So the way we do it, we have the MFCC vectors up in top. And for each of them, we get these K-best Gaussians, given our KVM. We do it for all of them. And that is our first part. That we can store in disk or in memory. And that's done one time. This is a little expensive because we're evaluating Gaussian mixture models. But this is it, one time only. Then every time we want to create a new speaker model, we just have to gather the data from, get the counts, and from those counts, get our binary vector. Okay, and this is lightning fast. Now, final first block, the acoustic block, we need to talk about initialization. In here, we just did something for simplicity. We just reused the KVM model. If we needed 10 initial clusters, we just took the 10 Gaussians that were chosen first. And with those, we do an iterative segmentation and with Viterbi, and we got the clusters that fitted them the most. Now we are in the binary domain, okay, and we have the thing. This iterative process is exactly the same as, for example, the ICSI system. It's agglomerative bottom-up clustering, except that now everything we do it in the binary domain. So, for example, training is based in the fingerprints from our pool of K-best Gaussians. Closest pair merging is computing a binary metric between all the models, all the cluster models, and just choosing the two that are closest to merge them. And Simon, we just take 3 seconds of data, moving 1 second every time, and compute a fingerprint for each of them, and assign it to the better speaker model. The last part of the system is, once we got to one, so we have one cluster, we have to choose how many clusters is our optimum number of clusters. So for that, we reuse the t-test distance that was presented by I2R people in InterSpeech 2008. And in benefit of time, this part, it's all in the paper, but it's just a metric between just a relation between the inter and intra distances between all the clusters, which allows us to select the optimal number of clusters. This is, I have to say, is a part of the system that I'm less happy about, and have to improve this part. How do we evaluate? Of course, we use the diarization error rate, but we also use real-time factor. And because the indirization results are so flaky, we decided to use all NIST retranscription evaluation data. This is about 36 shows. And I have to say that this runs in just over an hour in a laptop PC. So it's pretty fast. This is the table, the main table of results.
The first line is results using a basic GMM system, just an implementation of the system, basic one, that gives us about 23% average diarization error rate and a running time of about 1.19 real time. There is no optimization here, there is no, I mean, it's just an implementation, standard implementation. Then the last two lines, good to look at, these are two configurations, depending on the number of Gaussians we take for the KVM, two possible implementations of my system. We can see that in the 5% diarization error rate, this is slightly higher than the baseline still, but the real-time factor is 10 times faster. So it's pretty good. And to illustrate the importance of the training of the KVM, we did a test where we used just a standard GMM, just divisive clustering. That's the second line of results, and we see that it just breaks. I mean, we just, if we don't look at speaker characteristic, speaker discriminant Gaussians, it just doesn't work. And also, about what I want, selection of the number of clusters still doesn't do the job. If we number of clusters after running the system, we actually get 25% diarization error rate, which is better than our baseline. This is just to show the trend on depending on the number of Gaussians that the diarization error rate we have, and we can see just in here the black is the average. We can see that even well in around 900, but after 500 Gaussians for the KVM, the results are more or less flat. So it doesn't matter, 500, 600, it's fine. And this is a comparison of all shows or all meetings of our proposed system with the baseline. And we can see that in most cases they are almost the same results. Of course, there is some outliers that make this 2% difference, but we even get a couple of shows that are better. So overall, we saw that diarization was kind of stacked. Evolution is more was put more things on top of a standard system to try to get these little gains in performance, but we just start over a system that we hope we can even get better, right? And what I'm going to be working next is we're going to improve the binary key fingerprinting. We're going to find a better stopping gradient, hopefully, and also hopefully up the system, always monocore in, and maybe working in cell phones soon. Thank you very much.
Questions? So we can take one or two quick questions. Go ahead. Can you, do you mind go to microphone? Or do you mind use the microphone? Thank you.
No, this is MDM.
So at what point did you merge the two?
All merging and speech activity detection is done right at the beginning, at the very beginning. So it's just a standard, like a standard diarization system. It's just not, it's maybe put in the block. Let's see if it goes back. Just in the acoustic feature extraction, right at the beginning of the system. And by the way, I used speech activity detection from Eurecom, thanks to them.
So how did you merge the time of delay?
No, I just do acoustic. I don't merge. Okay. I use MDM, that's multiple microphones, but just beamformed, and I use a single channel then. Many ideas, but that work, I don't know. Have to try.
Okay, since we run out a little bit of time, let's thank our speaker again.